Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Connecting Faith. You can hear the show live each weekday at noon on Faith Radio. And there are many more podcasts for this and all our Faith Radio shows available online. Our web address is myfaithradio.com. And thanks for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
Thanks for tuning in once again to Connecting Faith. I always appreciate the opportunity to get together with you. Hope you've had a great day and a good week. Counting down the days till Christmas. We're in the count up with our Angel Treat campaign. We're going to hear another highlight, another story, a powerful story here at the end of today's program. But we want to jump in and get our guest on right away and talk about that. And Ted, I think you and I will we'll have to kind of be fighting for opportunity to question our guest because he's in the thick of the sports world.
Yeah, compelling topic.
Yeah, we're ready. We're going to talk First Team Dad, your playbook for a winning family. And it's a new book written by J. Drew Pittman, who is the principal for Doman and Pittman, one of America's premier sports management agencies. I should mention right off the that you know I'm not having him on because you know he's representing me or something to the NFL. So that's okay. Just to clarify that. I'm sure there's probably a lot of question about that.
So it's a different agent, huh?
Sure. In my mind, yes, I'm still a legend there. So more than 100 players represented by the firm. They've been drafted into the NFL. And more than a dozen of Drew's clients have played in Super Bowls and Pro Bowls. And Drew resides in Austin, Texas. Where else would where a football as a sports management agency hang out, maybe? But and he has a wife and two sons. Drew, welcome to Faith Radio.
Thanks, Neil. Happy to be here.
You've written a great book, First Team Dad, your playbook for a winning family. I'm just curious to know if you... through just some kind of life lessons, decided that, you know, there's some things that should transfer from the world of sports into the home and that it was an easy way to make that transition into a book.
Well, what happened, well, I actually did not set out to write a book. I had one of those aha moments where I was coming down the stairs from my home office and got to the landing, and I looked into the kitchen and saw my wife. She was cooking dinner, and my two boys at the time were 9 and 11, and they were sitting at the counter, and they were laughing, and everybody was just having a great time. And I literally got knocked to the ground by just the magnitude of the fact that God has given me human beings that I'm responsible to love and nurture into who He's called them to be. And before I got married, I decided I was going to be just one of those all-star great dads, I mean husbands. And then when we had kids, it was the same thing. I was going to be a great dad. And I realized that I was good, and sometimes I was great, but that I was not great all the time. And so I just started prayerfully considering things I could do to become great and jotted down ideas and things that you know, just – specific steps that I could take, and all of them kind of correlated to things I learned in sports and particularly in my business and football, and you know, no shock there, but I just started journaling about them and started implementing some of them and saw some great progress. And so from there, I just looked at it one day and there were 30 things, and I go, wow, this looks like a table of contents. And that's kind of how it started.
Well, we should mention too that I mean the book has 30 chapters, which is not typical in a book. I would think on parenting. I mean that you know, people say 30 chapters is like what 600 pages, but no, that's not the case.
Yeah, and I like I said, since I didn't really start off to write a book, when I decided that you know maybe this could be a book, I wrote it for me, and I thought you know I might be the only person that ever reads this. And I don't have time to sit down and spend an hour or an hour and a half every day reading a, you know, 25-page per chapter book. And so I made it short, and there's a football story at the beginning of every chapter that relates to the principal. and then some information on how it relates, going from sports to the home. And then at the end, there's a, what I call the game plan, and it's three or four bullet points on how you actually implement it. Because for me, I'd read tons of books that had great information, and I would get through and I would go, wow, that's really awesome. I just have no idea how to apply that in my home and in my life. And so I wanted to make it simple. And like I say, you know, first of all, for me, and then secondly, for anybody else who might read it.
By the way, we do have some copies to give away and would love to put you in the drawing for that. You want to give us a call and get signed up for that? It's 877-93-FAITH. It's 877-933-2484. A great book for you and your family, or maybe you know someone that you know and care about that's trying to be a first-team dad. And we're talking with Drew Pittman, who's a professional sports agent, husband and father, and written this great book from Bethany House, subtitled Your Playbook for a Winning Family. Again, it's 877-93-FAITH. And if you have some questions, you want to talk football, we'll talk football, too. I mean, we never miss an opportunity to do that, I guess. And maybe, Drew, just by the way, a little bit about you. Did you have a dream of playing professional football and ended up being an agent, or was being in sports management something that you'd thought about early on?
Well, it's interesting. I started off as probably a lot of boys in Texas in elementary school in the neighborhood, playing football and playing in the youth leagues. And then my dad was a college basketball player, and so I loved basketball too. And when I kind of got into junior high, basketball became my love. And then as I transitioned into high school, I found out I was a pretty good soccer player. And I ended up playing soccer at Southern Methodist University in Dallas. And so it was just kind of weird how it all happened. But and it wasn't until I was at SMU, and it was during the Pony Express days with Eric Dickerson and Craig James, and that I met a lot of those guys, because our locker room was right next to theirs. And they were getting out of school and going into the NFL, and I realized that a lot of players were just being treated like assets in a company. They weren't being treated like human beings. And so I thought, wow, maybe there's a place for a guy who really cares about the person. And that's kind of how the transition went.
Well, we're going to kind of unpack some of that as we go along and get into some of the principles of first-team dad. And again, we do have some copies to give away, and love to have you join the conversation as well. We talk a little bit about how to have a playbook for a winning family. Drew Pittman, my guest today. Drew, you know, we talk a little bit about, you know, these ideas, these principles, and even the game plan. But what does it mean to win as a dad anymore? Do we even know? How do we measure success?
Yeah, I think, you know, I started the book with the chapter Redefine Success. And I think as, you know, type A driven guys, you know, it's always about winning. And the win is very easy. But, you know, outside of sports, in the home, it's not that easy. And so I think one of the things that we have to do is define, you know, it's going to be different for everybody, and it's going to be different based upon your situation. But, you know, the thing that I think has to be in there is that nothing can come before faith, family, and you know, after that, then you can decide what comes next. But for me, you know, my relationship with the Lord and being a great husband and a great dad is how I define success.
I know that you talk in the book a little bit about, you know, ideas like motivation and perseverance and hard work and collaboration. Those are all sort of common sports aspects of a good game plan, no matter what the sport. And yet it doesn't seem like we sort of get that to transfer it from the sports field into the home. Why do you think that is?
I think it's hard. I think, you know, a lot of men, I believe a lot of men become kind of addicted to work because it's easy there to see the win. If you work hard and you make a great presentation and you can measure it by promotions and by salary increases. So it's easy to do. In the home, it's really hard. And, you know, my wife and I actually sat down this morning and reread one of the chapters, chapter 29, Learn How to Win. And because, you know, we were trying to figure out, you know, how to handle some certain situations with our boys. And it's just so easy to slip into, you know, not necessarily bad, but when your boys aren't or your kids aren't reacting the way you want them to, and you know, you kind of get into a mode of always harping on them and, you know, how to motivate them. And so, you know, I use this as a playbook. And our copy down in our living room is kind of worn out and highlighted, and you know, we go back to it because it's just not easy to continually you know, have success. You know, it's just anybody that's a parent is probably shaking their head, yeah, going, man, sometimes I don't think I'm winning at all. And so it's just an ongoing thing.
You don't have the principles sort of like written up in short little words on a wrist sleeve, do you? So you can kind of look at that when you come to
you know,
the huddle.
That's a great idea.
I mean, I'm just,
maybe that's a stocking stuffer.
Sure. that might be just kind of adding a little extra something to it. You know, you can just kind of keep it with you all the time.
Yeah.
We're talking first team dad today with Drew Pittman. Drew is one of America's premier sports management agents, Doman and Pittman, one of the premier sports management agencies. He has more than 100 players represented by the firm. They've drafted into the NFL, and more than a dozen of his clients have played in Super Bowls and Pro Bowls. And he and his wife have a couple of boys, teenage boys, so they know what they speak. And we're going to talk more with Drew in just a moment. Again, I've got a couple of copies of the book to give away, and I'd love to have you sign up for that. 877-93-FAITH, 877-933-2484. We'll talk about you know, some of the ways that maybe some notorious football players or at least well-known players don't always parent so well, and maybe some lessons we can learn there, too. We'll get into that and more coming up in a minute.
And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon. Little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, Dad, I don't know when, but we'll get together then.
You know, yeah, you know, that's one of the challenges about, you know, is it about quantity time or quality time? And I'm trying to remember if that was one of the chapters, Drew. We're talking to Drew Pittman about his book, First Team Dad, Your Playbook for a Winning Family. Let's talk about that, spending time with the kids, you know, out in the yard or just doing errands or whatever. Any advice on that?
Well, I would say it's both. You know, obviously, if the time you spend with your family is not quality time, then it's not time really spent with them. And I've seen that as a coach of youth sports. The dads are there, but they're pacing the sideline on their cell phone, and they think, oh, he's my kid's out there playing, and he's, you know, they're not really noticing, but they do notice. And so if you're spending time that's not quality time, then it's really not time that you're spending. It really doesn't count. And so I'd say, you know, it's important to spend a high quantity of time and make it quality time.
Yeah. Talk about, are the roles of a dad and a coach sort of interchangeable, or what makes a good coach, and are there things that easily apply to being a good dad?
I personally feel like being a dad is like being a coach, and I've had the joy of coaching all my, you know, both my boys, all their sports. I've, you know, I designed my life so that I could do that. And so, you know, I see all the kids around town still call me Coach Pittman, and I love that because they listen to me, and I can, you know, I think the way you communicate with a player on a team, if you're doing it well, if you're a good coach, is the same way you can communicate with your child. And so I think if you're a good coach with a team, then I think it's very easily transferable to just be the same way with your kids. Because we're you know, the word says that we're to raise them up in the way that they should go, and that's teaching them the way that God wants us to live our lives. And so that is coaching. And, you know, as a coach, sometimes you got to know when to give your player encouragement, and you got to know when to chew them out a little bit. And it's the same way as a parent.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about, you know, training them up in the way they should go, that, you know, there's something to be said, too, about understanding. I mean, I guess a good coach uses the talents of his players, right, and finds the best fit for them, and it's probably the same with parenting, right? I mean, we need to help our kids be who God created them to be, not to some ideal that we might have.
Absolutely, and I see so much parents, and I struggle, you know, I have to intentionally fight it myself, is to not make, you know, try and teach my boys to be who I want them to be, but to, you know, like I said earlier, help nurture them into who God's created them to be. Chapter 18 is titled Play to Your Strengths, and it's, you know, it's about helping your kids, you know, see how God has uniquely designed them and what he's designed them for. And one of the stories I tell is about a friend of mine here in town who has he has three sons and a daughter, and his oldest son is just kind of the guy's guy, and he's a great athlete, and, you know, he's just one of the guys. And then he has another son that is, like, all into Star Wars and, you know, whatever the latest, you know, kids movie that's out, he wants to be in character, and he'll get the costume. And, you know, my friend can go out and throw the football or shoot baskets with his oldest son, and then he can, you know, be the Ewok to his son's, you know, Luke Skywalker. And so he's allowing them to be who God's created them to be. And I think that's a great strength as a parent.
You know, there's, I guess, the other side of that is we tend to probably focus on, you know, point out the weaknesses, right? Or we point out what's wrong and can get waylaid by maybe what our kids are doing wrong. How do we build on the positives and learn how to encourage?
That is such a difficult thing, because all most parents want for their kids is for them to be successful and to be happy and to you know, avoid pitfalls. But I think, you know, there's several things, and I address it in several different chapters. You know, one is learning how, I call it affirm your teammates, and learning how to be constructive in your instruction. And there's a chapter, Learn the Art of Motivation. You know, and one of the things I find myself doing a lot with my boys is pointing out what they haven't done. And so, like I said this morning, my wife and I reread a chapter, and we were talking about how we can, my boys are in school, so they're not listening, but, you know.
Which is probably good, right?
We're going to take this whole week, and we're not going to criticize. We're just going to affirm. We're going to point out the things they did well. And you know, trying to just reestablish to where they don't tune us out. I think anybody, if all they're hearing from somebody else is criticism, they start tuning you out. And it's such a balance, and it's so hard. And you know, I fail a lot as a parent. But you know, I think the thing that most of us can do is just continue to be intentional about being great. And quite frankly, you know, when I started this, I would ask a lot of men around, you know, my friends and people in business, and I would ask them if they were a great dad, and they would say, well, I'm good, and sometimes I'm great, and, you know, sometimes I'm terrible, and that was me. And so, but what they all said was, if I knew what to do, I'd do it. And that was part of, and I don't think I have all the answers, but that was part of why I sought God's counsel on what I could do, and then wanted to share it with other men, because I think it's very beneficial.
Well, I liked what, as you addressed it about affirming your teammates, that this really is a team effort, right? It's not just four individuals in the Pittman house, but you really are a team.
Well, we should be,
okay.
and it's easy not to be, because we are all individuals too. And you see it, you know, you see it on the field of play. You got the receiver that's, you know, great, but he's always complaining because he doesn't get the ball enough, and you got the running back who doesn't talk, and you know, there's just different personalities, and that's why, you know, we have to be really intentional about bringing everybody together for a common cause, and you know, and on a team, it's winning the championship. With us, we have to define what that is, and, you know, chapter two is called Create a Culture, and that is, you know, who you are, what you stand for. In football terms, you know, coaches say stuff like the way we do it at our place, and that's their culture. And so, you know, if you can create a culture that your whole family has input into, then you have buy-in on what y'all are going to be about, and that becomes your common cause.
Good words from a professional sports agent, husband and father, Drew Pittman. Today we're talking First Team Dad. 877-93-FAITH is our phone number. You can sign up for a copy of the book or join us with a question as well. Drew, you're talking about, you know, running backs. We have a pretty notable running back in our neck of the woods who's gotten into a fair amount of trouble about in terms of some parenting issues. I'm sure you've run into plenty of the folks that you represent that don't always do it right. Just say a little word about that. I mean, it's tough to be in the limelight and when things go wrong.
It is, and I think the whole thing with Adrian Peterson's situation is it. You know, I'm glad that, you know, one thing the NFL does is when things happen there, they become public, and so therefore there is attention given to it, and it brings up a very important point, and that is, most men parent based primarily upon how they were parented. Even if it wasn't necessarily, they recognize that it wasn't good, but they slip into that because that's all they know. And you know, I had a conversation with my boys not too long ago. Both of them had done something, and I was disciplining them. And they thought I was overreacting, and I sat them down and I said, hey guys, one thing you have to understand is that, and this is the only constant, and that is, I'm going to make mistakes, and I may over discipline you sometimes, I may under discipline you sometimes, you know, I may let something go that I shouldn't have. I said, but the one thing you have to understand is every single thing that I do is based upon the fact that I love you and I want the best for you. And I said, you know, I have the responsibility to help you become the men that God's created you to be. And beyond that, I realize that you're going to parent your kids based upon how I'm parenting you. And so I'm not only affecting you, I'm affecting my grandkids and then probably their kids. And it's generational and it's a legacy. And so I take this very, very seriously. And so if I do something you don't agree with, just understand I'm doing it because I love you and because I realize the long-term implications. And it's hard for them to argue with me, you know, when I'm doing something, because I'll go, hey, and they'll go, I know, it's just because you love me. And so I think Adrian Peterson was parenting the way he was parented. And obviously, you know, I think it's pretty public that he wasn't parented by his dad. He was parented by a grandfather. And so he's doing what he knows, and that's it just shines the magnifying glass on how important it is for us to parent well. And what we don't know, let's learn.
We're talking with Drew Pittman. Drew is a professional sports agent, husband and father. Their agency has represented dozens. In fact, more than 100 players represented by their firm have been drafted into the NFL. More than a dozen of Drew's clients have played in the Super Bowls and Pro Bowls. And he and his wife, Lane, have two sons, and they live in Texas, and they're with us today on the broadcast. We're talking about First Team Dad, and we're going to talk more about, you know, taking responsibility, admitting mistakes, you know, some of those critical plays that determine outcomes for a long time. We'll get to that. Selfishness, confronting problems, all that ahead. You can join the conversation at 877-93-FAITH. That's 877-933-2484.
Just to know you and to make you know me.
We were made to thrive. We want to have a winning family. What does that look like? Well, we need a playbook and some great advice and insights from today's guests. You've put together in a new book from Bethany House. It's called First Team Dad, Your Playbook for a Winning Family, from Drew Pittman. Drew is a professional sports agent, husband and father, and joining us today. And Drew, if people want to find out more about Doman and Pittman or just maybe connect with you, what's the best way to do that?
My social media these days, my Twitter handle is at DPFootballAgent, all together, DPFootballAgent. And that's my Twitter and my Instagram. And then I have a Facebook page, First Team Dad. And I'd love for people to connect, follow me. I always follow back, and I've communicated with a lot of people that way, a lot of guys who have read my book. And the interesting thing we haven't talked about is a lot of women are getting this book and reading it and sending me messages on Facebook or Twitter and just telling me how much it's impacted them and asking specific questions where they're having maybe some struggles. And, again, I'm just a dude who's trying to be a better husband and a better dad. I don't have all the answers. I'm not a psychologist. But I think when we can everybody get together and kind of share stories and encouragement and, help, we all become better.
Well, in fact, that reminds me, Allison called in from Maple Grove, and she said, how can this book be used for my kids that are in their 20s? I'm guessing probably not married, but so any advice on some lessons there that we can learn?
Yeah, I think this is – it's geared towards men primarily being dads and husbands. But like I said, a lot of women are reading it and understanding the principles and understanding – kind of how they can affect their families. And I've had women read it and then say, I read it and my husband saw me read it and was like, what are you reading? And they weren't big readers, and they gave it to them and they read it and they loved it and they passed it on to friends. And so, I think as far as somebody that has kids in their 20s, one of my good friends, his kids are about, they're in their mid to late 20s, and he said, man, my ship sailed. I made so many mistakes. And I said, well, if you read the book, and then if you go to them and say, hey, I made mistakes, I've learned some things, and there's things I've done different, and, but just kind of, and it's not like they had a strained relationship, but just, you never stop being your kid's parent. And so I would say, tell Allison, get the book, share it with your kids, because, if they're not parents, there's a chance that one day they will be. And, I think it will help with perspective.
Yeah. Well, in fact, I was going to ask the next question about, talk about taking responsibility, admitting mistakes. How does that change the climate of a family? What does that do when you come to that place?
Well, one of my pet peeves, and I guess it was because my dad drilled it into me, is accountability. And I think it's kind of a lost art, so to speak, in our society. And there's, I live in a great community, and it's a small town just north of Austin, and lots of awesome people. But one of the things I see is a lot of this helicopter parenting. And maybe it was people who had great parents, maybe it was people who didn't have great parents, and they want to be great parents, and so they're just hovering over their kids, and they're shielding them from, if something goes wrong and a teacher, sends home a bad note or whatever, they get a bad grade, it's, it's not my kid's fault. And I think, the number one thing we can do is be accountable and own our actions. And there's a principle that I talk about in the book that I don't know if it's I kind of coined a phrase, and it's behavior responsibility, and it's something that I teach my boys, and I'm trying to instill in them, and every day I have to intentionally work on it myself. But that is, I am responsible for my behavior. That is it. I'm not responsible for anybody else's behavior. And somebody else's bad behavior does not give me the right to behave badly. Because I think what happens is, we see it on the highway. You're driving down the highway and somebody cuts you off, and it's like, well, I'm going to show them. They can't cut me off. I was wrong. They were wrong. They almost caused a wreck. So then we behave badly. And you see it everywhere, from the home to, workplace, even in churches. And so you know, I think if people will be accountable for their behavior, if they'll be responsible for their behavior only, and realize that somebody else's bad behavior does not give them the right to behave poorly.
You know, I suspect that maybe in your work as a sports agent, when you're recruiting or looking for talented athletes to represent, that you're interested in their ability to take responsibility as well. Maybe you can just share a bit about that too, because not everybody becomes a professional athlete, but there are consequences to our behaviors when we're younger.
Neil, that's a great point. And I am very specific about the type of players that I'm looking for. And you know, I in the recruiting process, sometimes I eliminate myself by just being very upfront with them. And while it is a little bit of a sales business, it's also as much an interview process. They're interviewing me. I'm interviewing them. We're looking for is it a good fit? And so one of the things that for me makes a guy a good fit for me is, you know, is he going to tell me the truth? You know, everybody thinks, well, they want an honest agent. Well, I want an honest client. I want a guy who's going to be very upfront with me and very open. And so I'm looking for guys that have those abilities to be accountable. And, you know, there are times in a relationship with a player when he's in the NFL and, you know, maybe he's I've had guys that call me and they go, oh, man, I'm not, you know, I used to be running with the ones and now I'm running with the twos. And, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. And my coach doesn't like me and he's unfair and he likes this other guy and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, just go out and do your job and don't worry about all this other stuff. When you make a mistake, be accountable. Don't go, well, you know, I fumbled the ball, but gosh, the other guy fumbled too. I'm like, that doesn't matter. You're only responsible for you. And so, don't we see that with kids too? I mean, you know, you go, hey, your room is a mess. And they go, well, you know, little Joey's room's worse than mine. I'm like, well, I'm dealing with you now. I'll deal with little Joey later, you know? And so it's just so much of it is just life, and it doesn't matter what the arena, whether it's kids or whether it's my clients or whether it's me personally. You know, I have to be accountable for my behavior when my wife says, you know, hey, honey, you know, what about this? And I can't be making excuses. I have to be accountable.
You know what? We're talking First Team Dad with Drew Pittman. It's subtitled Your Playbook for a Winning Family, and we're talking about a game plan to see that happen. One of the first issues you address in the book is selfishness, and talk about the game plan for reorienting ourselves to others first. That's pretty tough in today's entitlement society.
Yeah, and the title of the chapter is Kill the Big F, and you know, I think selfishness kills more relationships than anything else. And you know, we don't have to teach people how to be selfish. I mean, we're born with a me, me, me mentality. And unfortunately, our culture and our world these days kind of plays that up. You know, it's all about you. You know, you should be happy. You deserve this. You deserve that. And, you know, it's difficult. I don't know about you, Neil, but I battle selfishness every single day. I can't tell you the last day I've had where I didn't have to make a decision where I had to choose somebody else's betterment over what I want to do. And so it's just something that you know, I think the first key is identifying that it is an issue. And you know, like so much of what I write about in First Team Dad is being intentional. Being aware and being intentional about correcting those types of issues.
Well, I'm sure you are always pleased too when some of the players that you represent, you can see that they aren't selfish and that they really buy into the team concept, and that's the way winners generally go, right? It's about the team.
Absolutely, and I tell a couple of stories in that chapter. One is a guy named Billy Badgema who played tight end in the NFL for 8 years and really a great guy and always about the team. He was fast. He was had great hands, but he also blocked really well. So he became the blocking tight end. And, you know, people would talk about, yeah, well, if he was faster. And I'm like, he was the fourth fastest tight end at the combine when he went to the combine. So don't tell me he's not fast. But because he could block and because he was big, long levered guy, he kind of got pigeonholed. But you know what? He never said a word about it. He just did his job. He was with the 49ers when they were terrible. He was with the Rams when they were terrible, and then he went to the Ravens and won a Super Bowl. And so I look at that and I say, you know, Billy was rewarded for his unselfishness. And then another one is Jared Cook, who's the tight end for the St. Louis Rams, and you know, he was at the Titans, and man, he never said a word. They underutilized him, and he never said a word. His contract year, which is where you want to go out and have the big stats so you can go out and get that big second contract, they didn't utilize him very much, and he didn't say a word. He just went to work, did his job, good teammate, and he was rewarded with a great contract with the Rams. And so, you know, I just I think we see it everywhere, but we hear more about the selfish players than we do the unselfish players.
Yeah. You know, one of the areas that I was thinking about as I was reading the book is, you know, how do we encourage or help maybe our kids or maybe our entire family to dream big dreams? I know you talk about that, even though, you know, we know our kids, your kids are in their mid to early teens. I mean, you know, none of us have developed all the wisdom that we need. And so, you know, maybe some of those dreams are just kind of crazy ideas. How do we, you know, encourage that without stifling the dream?
Well, you know, I think it's an attitude, and I'm all about dreaming. And it was funny when I decided that I was 29 years old when I decided that I was going to go be a sports agent, and I told somebody about it, and they're like, man, you are dreaming, and I was like, yeah, I am. But then I realized they meant that in a negative way, and I was like, you know, if we don't dream, I mean, God created us to dream. He says in His Word that you know, your young men are going to dream dreams, and that's what we. So, how do we encourage it? It's whenever, you know, whenever my kids, and I'll just use my personal experience, whenever my kids say something about, yeah, I probably won't be able to do that, I'm like, why? You know, and maybe they won't. You know, I thought maybe I was going to be a professional athlete, and it didn't happen. But what my playing soccer at a major college program did was put me in a situation that ultimately led to me becoming a sports agent, and then me writing a book and having some influence that you know is bigger than I ever imagined. But it's just, I just keep dreaming, and you know, God's plan is not always what our plan is. But if we'll keep dreaming and keep following His plan, man, you know, He'll use us in amazing ways.
Talking First Team Dad with Drew Pittman. Drew is a professional sports agent, a husband, and father, and has written this great book with 30 great principles for a playbook for a winning family. And we are taking your calls at 877-93-FAITH, 877-933-2484. And we've got some copies of the book to give away. You can sign up for that as well. And we'll talk more with Drew, get some perspective on maybe how we confront problems and some of those issues in family. If you have some concerns about being a dad, you can give us a call, 877-93-FAITH. Stand by. We're learning about what it means to have a playbook for a winning family. This is the subtitle of a new book from Drew Pittman called First Team Dad, and things like you know, check your baggage, establish trust, control the pace, watch your words, embrace failure, huddle up, own your actions, a number of things. We'll get to a few more here before time is gone. But I want to take Angela's question. Angela calling in on line one and wants to know a little bit about youth sports. Angela, go ahead. You're on with Drew Pittman.
Hi. Just a quick question for you. How do you feel that we as parents help keep a balance and navigate our children through youth athletics? I just feel like it's become so competitive at such a young age. And we have that mentality of having to keep up with the Joneses and playing sports year-round, and it kind of gets out of control. Just wondering your thoughts on that.
That's a great question, Angela. And one of my chapters is called Move Away from the Joneses. But youth sports has become very, very competitive. You know, I think for me and my family, and what I've seen kind of work well with other families, is, you know, you can't be fully committed to a select baseball team while you're playing select soccer, while you're doing gymnastics or taking piano lessons or whatever it is. And so it's kind of prioritizing, which I think if we can teach our kids how to prioritize, then it helps. You know, one of the things I don't like about youth sports is kids are being pushed to make a decision on what sport they want to play at 10, 11, 12 years old. And I would say, you know, keep them doing a lot of things. Don't play too many sports at you know, during one season. Our rule was always you can play one sport. You're not playing two sports in a season, because neither one of them get all of you, and that's just really not a good way to do it. And in our house, academics comes first, so it's hard to balance that. But helping our kids learn balance is a good way to kind of avoid some of that.
Mm-hmm. And one of the areas you talk about is confronting problems. You know, it feels like lots of times it's easier not to address issues.
Yeah, it is. And you know, I think I personally am a guy that's not afraid of confrontation. And so, you know, a lot of people avoid it. Some people in my home avoid it. But I think, you know, when we confront issues, And especially as a family, as a dad, if I have an issue with my child, I can't just, you know, be the dictator and go in and start yelling at him. We're trying to make sure that when we communicate, that we communicate respectfully, we communicate in normal tone and not raised, elevated tone. And so I think If we'll do that, and we'll do it, we'll make confrontation of issues in love and not attacking. And part of that, when we attack somebody for doing something that we think that, you know, well, they're not being considerate of me, it's that selfish thing that comes up that makes us think, oh, they're after me, and why would they do that to me? Instead of just going, hey, this is what happened, and, you know, this is why it upset me, and I'd like to talk to you about it. And if we could learn how to do that, then, man, we're light years ahead.
Drew, say a word about just some of the, you know, we haven't gotten through all 30 of the great plans, and these aren't things that are just sort of scribbled up on the sand in the playground. I mean, they're actually well thought out. But maybe just what are some key principles you want to leave us with before our time gets away?
Well, I think, you know, I mentioned the chapter Create a Culture. It's probably my favorite because, you know, what I did was I got with my wife and my kids, and I kind of knew where I wanted it to go. But when somebody says, what's the way we do it at our place, what is that for the Pittman household? And I asked my kids the question, I said, and my wife, and I said, you know, if we moved away from this town and a year from now our friends were talking about us and they said, hey, you remember the Pittmans? What would they say about us? And then what do we want them to say about us? And so we came up with four things that we would want them to say about us. And then it becomes, how do we need to behave? How do we need to act so that they would say those things about us? And so I think that's just a foundational thing, that if you can do that and you can get something strong, then it becomes a roadmap for everybody. And then the other thing is the last chapter is called Create a Champion Level Legacy. And I tell the story about Tom Landry after he passed away, and Jerry Jones built this commission, this big statue, 20-foot statue. They wheeled it into the Texas Stadium floor, and they had Tom's widow, Alicia, out there. And Brad Sham, the longtime voice of the Cowboys, says, Alicia, you know, what do you think of the statue? And she looks up at this 20-foot tall statue on this big platform, and she goes, I remember him being bigger. And I think, isn't that how we want our kids and our families to think about us? You know, that we're larger than life. And so what we're doing today isn't just about today. It's not just about keeping our kids alive until they get out of the house, but it's really preparing them and creating a legacy so that it goes beyond them, beyond their kids, beyond their kids' kids. And so those are the things that I think, I mean, there's just helpful tools throughout the book, but those are the two things that I think really have made a mark on me.
Great stories, too, of a lot of the athletes that we would know and recognize and coaches and things. So it's just it's a lot of fun reading it. And you didn't want to talk about the college football bowl pairings or any of that stuff?
Yeah, this whole I probably should watch what I say, but the whole playoff thing has been interesting. I felt all along that if they went to this, it was going to really just open up Pandora's box instead of what they thought it would do was, hey, we'll shut everybody down. But now, you know, whatever four teams are in there, there's going to be two or three or four teams that are going to go, oh, we should have been there. And maybe they should have. I mean, I don't think you can just, and you can't treat football like basketball because it just takes too long to prepare for a game and they're, you know, it's just different sports. So anyway, we'll see how it comes out. The one thing that it has done, and maybe they're kind of secretly laughing going, we accomplished what we want to, is it's creating a lot of talk, a lot of buzz. You know, they've got three or four new shows on ESPN about it, so maybe they've done what they wanted to do.
Maybe so. Well, I don't know. Do I say go Bears or something? Does that help if we wrap up here with are you a Baylor Bear?
Well, you know, I have the Baylor connection, but you know, my team is obviously SMU. We're not in the talk. And then, like I told you before we got on, I represent the offensive coordinator for TCU, Sonny Cumbie. So, you know, I'm a fan of the game. I'm a fan of the great people in the game, and there's a lot of great people in the game. And so it's just fun to be a part of it.
Well, our time is gone, but we had a great discussion with Drew Pittman. You can find him on Facebook, First Team Dad, or his Twitter is at DP Football Agent, and find out about the book as well, First Team Dad. Your playbook for winning families from Bethany House. Good to talk to you, Drew. Blessings to you.
Thank you, Neil. Bless you.
You're listening to Connecting Faith, as we wrap up today's show, we want to just transition into the great opportunity that we've got as a Faith Radio family to be involved in Angel Tree. This is a wonderful ministry. It was started way back in 1982. And their goal is to reach 375,000 children of incarcerated parents this year. We would like to see out of the Faith Radio listening family support for 1,000 of those. So far, we're at 268, and just grateful for that. You can help reach children with a gift, a Christmas gift, the gospel, and a message of love from their incarcerated parent by going to our website, myfaithradio.com. And let's hear this story just as a reminder.
In prisons all over the country, in late summer or early fall, prison chaplains encourage inmates to sign their children up for Angel Tree. Volunteers, like Arlene, call the legal guardians of those kids so that those children get just the right gift. It's a system that works, almost every time.
Last year, I spoke to a grandmother who was my contact person for three children, and I wanted to know what the children needed in terms of clothing and a fun item. And she gave me the information for the first child, and then when I asked for the information for the second child, there was such a long pause, and I said, "Are you still there?" And she said, "Yes." And I said, "Well, what does Shakira need this year, and what size is she?" And she said, "Shakira doesn't need anything this year." And I said, "Oh, my goodness, no, we really would like to provide for her." And she said, "Shakira won't need Christmas this year because she was murdered a couple of weeks ago with a shotgun blast to her stomach."
For Arlene, forever, Shakira will be a reminder that every single child counts. And Angel Tree is a privilege, a blessing, and an urgent rescue mission.
Then I realized the urgency of meeting the needs of these children that we're blessed to have and that we may only have one chance. Then I think about this year as we take on another 200 kids and how many of them are on the edge and that might not make it. and I challenge you to rescue just one of them and pull them back from that edge.
You can be a part of it today by going to our website, myfaithradio.com, or you can call this number, 855-59-ANGEL. That's 855-59-ANGEL. And thank you for your generosity. All the funds raised go to Angel Tree. It's not something we're keeping any part of here on Faith Radio. We just want to do this as a ministry and are grateful for your participation and your help. If you missed part of today's show, you can always catch it online. The podcast gets posted after each show at myfaithradio.com and click on Connecting Faith.